Between now and last week was Mother's Day. Between now and Father's Day, we're going to really be talking. We've been in our Sunday school. We've been dealing about the topic of the home. Amen. Christian home since January. God has just laid on my heart to really teach this during the service on the issue of marriage and family, God's way. Praise the Lord. God's way. And this series of messages, honestly, if you are one that you don't get tapes and CDs, this will be one you need to get. Let me tell you why. Number one, I believe God has a message for those of us who are together, husband and wives, in order to make our marriages better. Amen. You know, after a while, marriages plateau. You know, everybody just kind of tolerate each other. You just go in, automatic motion. Amen. Hello. You know, there's no fun in it. Secondly, it's going to be to those who are having challenges in marriages now. Praise the Lord. And it is my aim, it is my prayer that during this month that we're going to go through this, God will begin to speak and bring reconciliation. Amen, somebody. Amen. Don't think it's impossible for God to do. Amen. And the third people I want to address, and this message is going to address, is people who are not married yet. Praise the Lord. Who are not married yet, or if you have children who are nearing the age of marriage, these are the things that you can teach them, you can show them. Amen. So I will really, really encourage you that when this series is finished, make sure you get a CD of it. If your husband is not here, maybe your husband has traveled or whatever, make sure you get it mailed to him. Amen. I'm telling you, it's something that God has laid on my heart. I just felt like it's the right time to do it. Amen. So I'm not going to be preaching per se. I'm going to be teaching. That is one of the reasons why I didn't go up there. I want to be closer because I may ask questions in between all we're doing. Amen. The Lord will bless you all. Amen. I know you have your handouts with you, right? Okay. And I believe that they have it all on screen as well. So let's open to the book of Matthew as we begin. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 to 6. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 to 6. Let's stand together as we read God's word. I'm going to read it, but let's all stand together, please. Matthew 3 to 6. Are you all there? Okay. Bible says, I'm reading from the King James Version now. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said to them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore, there are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Amen. Go back to the book of Genesis quickly. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We are all going to read together verses 18 and 19. Actually, we're going to read from verse 18 through 25. Now we're going to read all this together. Amen. Are you ready? Let's read together. Ready? Go. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help, inmate suitable for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creatures, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to all the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And after the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. Therefore shall a man cleave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Father, I pray today that the word that will come in the next month will transform homes the way you want it in the name of Jesus. I pray for every marriage that is struggling, Lord, today, even by the reason of your word, you begin to make a positive change in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Blessed be your name. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let us be seated. There was a survey that was done several years ago, about 2 years ago, by someone called George Barnard. George Barnard is a leading psychologist, and also is a premier guy in doing surveys that relate to Christianity. He did the survey, and he came up with this one fact. It says that one in every two marriages will end in divorce now in the United States. But the shocking aspect of it was that majority of those marriages that will end in divorce are marriages by Christians. Meaning that the devil is looking for ways to destroy the fabric of society. The fabric of society, ladies and gentlemen, is a strong family. Amen. If you don't know it, a strong family, a strong relationship between a man and a husband always has an effect upon the children as well. So the devil begins to see this, and the devil is now creeping into what? Into Christian homes. Because he knows that this is the only foundation, this is one of the origins that God himself instituted. Not only that, you will see now that majority of churches now are not even, they are not even recognizing marriage as one man, one wife anymore. You know that some Anglican churches now, they have accepted to begin to ordain gay bishops. Amen. Still Christians. So we need to understand, when we begin to talk about the issue of the home, that the home starts from good marriage. Amen. So the question is, what is marriage? We're going to take it from the basics today, and then we continue to go. We need to understand, marriage is a divine union between a man and a woman. Remember, I didn't say between two people. Hello? Because what many people are telling you, they say two people. No. It's between a man and a woman, established by what? By God. It's that simple. The union of a man and a woman as established by who? By God. We need to understand that for us to understand what marriage is all about, because listen, you know, there are many books that have been written about marriages. Amen. There was a woman, Joyce Brothers. You know, if you're on TV, they will talk about marriage, they will talk about different stuff. But I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that the only source of good information about marriage is the scriptures. Why? Because it was God himself that ordained the institution of marriage. So whatever it is that we have to do, whatever counseling that needs to happen, if it doesn't have its basis in the scriptures, then it is a waste of time. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 19 verse 4, it says that, have you not read that from the beginning? Meaning that in the beginning of time, when God created them, he created everything male and female. Not male and male. Or female and female. Amen. So we need to understand that, number two, that when God created human beings, male and female, he provided that also when they will come together, they will come together in the auspices of marriage. Amen. The Bible said, God looked at Adam and he said, it was not good. Now, this is how you will know the importance that God placed on marriage. It is God. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says that everything that God created, all of it was what? Was good. But hence now, the Bible now says, it was not good. How can something that God has created that has been good before, can now God say it is not good? The Bible said, it was not good for man to be alone. Now says, I will give him a what? Helpmate that is what? Suitable. Men, let me address you here. Our wives have been given to us by God to help us to fulfill our destiny in life. Praise the Lord. And that is why, for those of you that are not married, you must make sure that you are marrying the right person. Hello? You must make sure you are doing what? You are marrying the right person. Because marriage is not just a merely social contact. You know what? You know, you are a man. You know, I'm a man, you are a woman. We see each other, we like each other. You know, so let's get married. And some people something. Have you ever heard this word, love at first sight? How many of you believe in that? No, come on, raise up your hand. We're doing a teaching here. Love at first sight. How many of you, the day you saw the woman you are married to now, the first day you said, this is the person I'm going to marry? Okay. Praise the Lord. But not a whole lot. The mistake many people are making today is that many people think that because they see somebody and they have a social contact with them, maybe they went to party together. Hello? You know, I have a true story. True story. This is a true story. When I was in Chicago, we had a man and a woman. They went to party together. They met at a party, and next day they decided to move together. I'm telling you, it's a true story. The guy is very close to me. Amen. So they moved together, and you know how in our culture, remember we're talking about culture and the Bible today. In our culture, when people begin to see you together with somebody, they begin to say, Yahweh Inko. Have you ever heard that before? So all of a sudden, because they were living together. He just got to a point and said, okay, let's get married. I was in the church that day. When the ceremony was going on, the man was asked, do you take this woman as your lawfully wedded wife to have and to hold? You know how we read all that. The man stood there. He couldn't answer. It took him a while to answer. And before he answered, he began to cry. It's a true story. I was in the church that day. So the wife of the pastor began saying, "Hey, you're there, no bad now. We are overwhelmed." No. It was very striking because I believe the man. Just, he wanted them to live together, you know, roommates now. I mean, you know. But now they had to get married. I think the reason why they had to get married was because, yes, he was going to be put in a position in church. And that's one of the reasons why you must not, because of a reason, go get into marriage. Now, this is for you, sir, who are not married. Don't because, because you can't go marry because you want a change of status. No. So the man, everyone said, Kilo day. He began to cry. After a while, he said, yes. The marriage did not last long. They had a kid, but one day, the woman went to work. The man packed the bags, packed his load, packed everything, left the house before the woman came back. Praise the Lord. He's not going to say. Because I was one of the people that actually talked to him. What happened? Did the woman do anything? Only nothing. Show said, you're wrong. Only won't come. I just grew up. I just now found out that I didn't love her. There's nobody they didn't call to this man. They called the head of the church to come and talk to him. He said no. Amen. What am I trying to say is that when we begin to talk about the issue of marriage, it's not about the mere social contact. It is something that we must take seriously. That's why the Bible says that it is not good for the man to be alone. Listen, as men, there are some things that God wants us to accomplish in life, but without the proper woman next to us, we cannot accomplish it. Amen. Another tradition says, I will find him a helpmate that is suitable, adaptable, complementary. That is why those of us that are married here, we need to understand that we are there to complement each other. As husbands and wives, we are there to what? To complement each other, not be in competition. That is why I think it is very stupid. Excuse my strong language. When some men feel that they don't want their wife to be successful. Amen. There's some men like that. That they have a real problem with their wives being successful. And that is why maybe the woman is going to school for something. They will do everything that they need to do to stop that woman from finishing and graduating. Amen, somebody. He says, I will have him a helper that is suitable, that is what? Adaptable, and that is what? Complementary. Not just a social contact. That is why I tell people, don't agree to arrange marriages. We'll get to that eventually. Amen. That's why the Bible says in verse 24 of Genesis, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be what? One flesh. I was going to do an illustration for you. You know, if you have two salts, one in jar A and jar B. If you label them salt A, salt B on the jar. You know, if you pour those salts together, which one of you can actually determine this one was A and B? Who? Come on, I speak up. I'm not preaching, I'm teaching. It's what? So when the Bible says that they shall become one, that is what God emphasizes when he talks about marriage being what? The two shall become what? One. Inseparable. Praise the Lord. Inseparable. That is why if you are not married, if you don't have someone that will come, and that's why I tell those of you that are not married, you have to look for people, someone that complements you. Amen. Not someone that is in competition with you, that is always mad when you are being successful. If my wife is successful today, Tanamaki, only now. Praise the Lord. I know many people that gave me a call when my wife graduated. They said, "Ah, Pastor, Ekushel, Ekwadroti." Yes, that's me. No, amen. Somebody, no. This is something we need to say. If your husband is successful, you as a woman, you must not be mad at that. Because we are there to complement. If there are some things that I am weak at, then my wife is strong in that area, then it will complement it. There are some things that my wife is weak at, amen, I will do what? I will help and complement. Sorry. One of the things my wife is not good at is registering for classes. Praise the Lord. He's not good at that. Guess what? Every semester, I have to be the one that goes. I have no clue about the subject, but I'll do what? Register. Amen, somebody. That is what marriage should be. Find out the weaknesses in your spouse, and now don't just say, Amen. No, you don't, honestly speaking, the next month or so, please don't miss it. There's some things that we just need to tell ourselves from the scriptures. The Bible said that only When I begin to look at that in the scriptures, the Bible is actually saying, in the Greek text of it, it said that we should put women on a pedestal. Amen. Says, I will make a helpmeet that is what? Suitable. So that passage shows us four elements that must be present in the marriage. It's not in your notes, but write this down. Four elements that must be present in the marriage. Number one, there must be a cutting off. What does that mean? Listen, when you get married, there are some friends that you are hanging out with. So when you finish, when you have gotten married, you need to cut yourself off with some people. Hello, somebody. There must be a cutting off from your family. Now, when I mean cutting off from your family, I don't mean that because you are now married, you will never talk to any of your parents again. A cutting off. Number two, there must be a bonding. Only therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall do what? Cleave. Cleave, cleave. The word cleave there, in the essence of it, means glue. Amen? How many of you have worked with crazy glue before? The real glue. You know, when you attach something together with a glue, watch this now. Watch this. When you attach something together with a glue, you know, when you want to pull it apart, it's very, very difficult, right? Do you know that is why divorce is very, very painful? Because the way God wants it was to be like a glue. That is why it leaves a scar. I remember a few weeks ago, my car, the keys of my car got busted. Actually, got busted over a year ago, but I was using, to my nose, I was using crazy glue to because they told me it was going to be about $260 for a key. I got $260 for a key. So I was using crazy glue to patch it together. So when the time came now that at the key, nothing worked again, so I had to go to Lexus to the dealership. So the guy said, okay, you don't need to do that. All you need to do is just change the brains. I said, okay. So he gave me the brains. When they want to put the new brains in the key thing, because of the glue that was there, the thing could not close properly. He said, you know what? The glue is really attached. And if I try to force it, it will mess up the key. Then you will have to pay $600. He now said, what you need to do is go and sandpaper the thing. So I went to Home Depot. I begin to sandpaper. The thing is still not closed properly. But what am I trying to say is that the way God wants marriage to be is that we, the husband and the wife, the man and the woman, to be together like a glue. And that is why when you try to separate it, it is very painful. Amen?
Amen.
And I speak to every marriage that is going through some painful process. The Lord will heal in the mighty name of Jesus. You are not saying amen.
Amen.
So there must be a cutting off. There must be a bonding. There must be a unity. United in purpose. That is why those of you are not married. If you met a man that wants to marry you. The man tells you, in 3 years, I'm moving finally to Nigeria. You yourself, you have determined that you are never going back to Nigeria. So I pray, walati bere. No, am I talking to somebody? There's a problem. Because why? Their purpose is totally different. One wants to go settle down in Nigeria in 3 years. You say, you know what? Nigeria, I don't have anything there. I'm never going there anymore. You know that what happens is that when 3 years now comes, so he decides that he wants to pack and go. You say you are not going. Guess what happens? Wala bere. When we talk about unity, we are talking about unity in thoughts, unity of purpose, unity of ideas. Now, that is not to say that there will not be time when you have a vigorous exchange of ideas. But eventually, you must come to a point where you are united. United in how you raise your kids. Hello? Some women are harsher. They are tougher on the kids than the fathers. Praise the Lord. Women, we like to bold face me. Just you lower the voice and all the, that's all they need to hear. But women, sometimes they have to shout. Sometimes they'll be shouting, you'll be like, what is the noise all about? Sometimes when I'm sleeping, I'll be hearing my wife, David! Ah! Praise the Lord. It's always David. Me, the other day, when I have to get them ready for school, the whole house will not know. But the bottom line is this. Though she has her own way, I have my own way. Though we as parents have our own way, the bottom line must be a unity of purpose of making sure that we are looking for the best of the kids. Amen, somebody. There must be a unity, and then there must be intimacy. We're going to get to that in a minute. Not today. But don't forget those four elements. What is number one? A cutting off, right? What's number two? Bonding. What is number three? What is number four? Intimacy. When I mean intimacy, intimacy is not about, it's not about sexual intercourse alone. Amen? Intimacy means closing. Have you ever seen people who have been married for a long time and they begin to say they look alike? It's not that they really facially look alike. It's just that they think alike. They do things alike. Amen? And that is why in the church of God, we need role models. One of the things we're going to do before we close is that some of you that have been married over 10, 15 years, I'm going to call you out. Just going to sit down here. And just tell us what made you stay together. Praise the Lord. Because every family, we can learn from each other. Hello, somebody. So what is the nature of marriage? Marriage is not just a relationship. Amen. The nature of marriage. Number one, we must understand that marriage is a covenant. Say it after me. Marriage is a covenant. What is a covenant? When we talk of marriage as a covenant, it means that it's a joining of a lifetime commitment. Amen? That is why when we read the vows, we say, the pastor, and the pastor will say, did you take so and so to be your lawfully wedded husband or wife, to love and to hold, in sickness, in health, for richer, for poorer? He now says, till what? Come on, now, let's say, till do what? Because the kind of covenant that marriage is not just any covenant. There are several covenants in the Bible. The covenant in the Hebrew is translated as berith. 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 Berith means to cut something. That is why when you enter into a marriage, you are cutting a covenant. And the kind of covenant you are cutting is what I call the blood covenant. Listen to this very carefully. In the scriptures, there are several kinds of covenants that are in the scriptures. But the most powerful covenant in the scriptures is what I call the blood covenant. And the blood covenant is only available in three instances. Number one, you see blood covenant in the relationship of Christ to the church. Christ shed his blood for us to be saved. Number two, instance of a blood covenant is the covenant between a man and a woman. It is a blood covenant. Now, you say, why or how is it a blood covenant? in the real sense that God wanted it to be. Man and woman, when they come together in marriage, they must be virgins. Amen. A woman, I know that nowadays, nobody cares about that anymore. Praise the Lord. As a matter of fact, some culture will tell you, quick, what God tells to bring, go make sure. Some people say, let's make sure the woman gets pregnant before you do the marriage. Now, in the real sense of it, whenever a woman has sexual intercourse for the first time, there's something called a hymen. Amen? A hymen. So if the woman was married to a person, they would do the ceremony, but the real sense, the way the biblical tradition is that at the end of the ceremony, the man will go to the woman for the first time. And if she has never had intercourse, when they both have intercourse, there will be something called breaking of the hymen. When that happens, there's blood that comes out of the woman. Amen? The way God wants it, that is how it should have been. And that is how that marriage is a blood covenant. And he now says, until, that is why the word says, until what? Death do us part. And the third blood covenant is the covenant between a parent and a child. Hallelujah. Remember, no matter how you want to disown the child, you know what? You know why? Because the blood is still there, that attaches both of you together. And that cannot lie. So we need to understand that the nature of marriage, number one, is that marriage is not just a relationship. And this is the reason why many people take marriage so lightly today, because they do not see it as a covenant. Amen? A lifetime one. And whenever there's a covenant, listen to this, there's what we call the terms of the covenant. Amen. What are the terms of a covenant? That's what we read when you come together in marriage. You know, they will say, where's Brother Valentine? I want to get my book, please go to my office. Cabinet that doesn't have the printer, or both of them open it, there's a green book that says CAC manual, please bring it for me. The terms of the covenant is what we read. Amen? Amen. That's why, some people joke with it. Amen. Lagbaja tamedo. I don't joke with it. That's the most important part of the wedding. It says, I agree to take you. Those are the terms of the covenant. As my wife, wedded wife, Eshejari Mommy, to love and to hold in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, till death do us part. In sickness, in health, for richer, for poorer. I was reading a book one time. This man, he's been married to his wife for like 20 years. But for the past 18 years, the woman was suffering from some serious type of diabetes. That the woman is so much in pain that the husband had to do everything. Cooking, washing the dishes, everything for 18 years. The man is a pastor and he still travels around to do his stuff. Amen. That is what is called the terms of the covenant. Now, whenever there's a term of the covenant, there's something called a token or a symbol of the covenant. In CAC, we use the Bible. Amen? Hold on, let me see if I can find it for you. Hold on for me. We use the word the Bible. Okay. And you will see that eventually, there we go. Okay, this is the vow. It says, I take you to wed as my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness, in love, and in health, to love, to cherish, till death do us part, according to God's holy ordinances. Amen. And thereto I pledge you my truth. Now, I said the token is the Bible. The thing is, then shall the two of them hold the Holy Bible. The man will then say, with this Holy Bible, which is the word of God, I wed you with my body, I honor you, and with all my worldly goods, I endow you. Meaning that whatever that becomes me, whatever that I have, the moment you get married to your wife, is not my own thing anymore. Some men don't understand that. Men, I'm going to come hard at us from the word of God, because our culture has taken it for granted that we must look out and love our wives. Remember, we're talking about culture today. Our culture thinks that men are semi-citizens. The way God wants it is that he says, with this Holy Bible, he says, with all my worldly goods, I endow you in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. There are some men that they will not get to heaven because of the way they've treated their wives. Or because Bible is talking here. We're going to get it. The Bible says, a man who doesn't know how to treat his wife, only a dry man need they know. Only God himself. Amen? That's why I really cringe. I really cringe. My wife knows this. I have zero respect for a man that abuses his wife. Zero. Amen. Zero. The day I hear it, forget it. Now, that doesn't mean that I won't help to mediate, but the respect I will have for that person that day diminishes. Zero. Because let me tell you, the onus of a successful marriage, I know it's in the hands of both people, but ladies and gentlemen, I want to say mostly it's in the hand of the man. Now, there's some women that are family co-bunyo. I understand that. Praise the Lord. Because when you begin to look at it, the Bible says, husband, do what? Love your wife. Only husbands do what? Love. Regardless of what happens. And when we begin to talk about a covenant, in the Bible, when the covenant is caught in the holding dish, there's always an exchange of what I call exchange of garment. What does that mean? It means that whatever I have, you have. You have the story, you've had the saying that this is how women say it. Your money is our money. My money is my money. You've had it, right? You never know that a woman has the money. You never know. But there must be an exchange of garment. Exchange of belt. What is an exchange of belt? An exchange of belt means that you exchange trust in between each other. You say, now, forever as long as we are living, we are going to trust each other. That is why a marriage that has no trust will need to go out together. There's exchange of names. That is why when you get married, you all of a sudden you have a name. Your name is now switched from whatever you are to the name of the husband. Why? Because it is part of cutting a covenant. When God had a covenant with Abraham, the Bible said he had to change his name from Abraham to what? To Abraham. Why? Because they were going into a covenant, and part of the covenant was that the name has to be changed. And I don't believe in these compound names. Amen. Amen. And that's why I tell married couples, those of you that are married here, your responsibility is first of all to your husband or to your wife before you go to your parents. That's what the scripture says. Number two, nature of marriage. Marriage is a union that supersedes the parent-child relationship. Hello? Let me tell you something. I tell my kids, the order of importance in my life, God, my wife, then my children. Amen? Then my family, immediate family, parents. Amen? Then ministry. If that is not the order you have in your life, go and check it out. God first, your spouse, then your children. Because without your spouse, you don't have children. But there are some people, at his spouse, who, some men, they don't belong for him. Imagine, don't let me go there. But it's a union that supersedes the parent-child relationship. Hello? So that is why those of you that are married, you know, we're going to get to that when we talk about how to have fun in your marriage. There are times when you need to let the kids alone. Leave the kids alone. You and your wife, go get to know. You know, sometimes, do you know that there's a study that says that the moment a married couple begins to have children, their level of affection for each other begins to drop? Amen? It begins to drop. Why? Because all the attention, especially us women, probably need to balance things a lot. See, life is about balance. It must not be on the children alone. Omomio. Because marriage is a union that what? It supersedes that. Number three, marriage is a union of such intimacy that the two partners are said to become what? One flesh. One. One. One minus one. But in the math of marriage, one plus one equals one. It must be one. We must be together. That is why we do things together. Amen. That's why when Paul was speaking in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 33, he says, he was comparing how Christ and the church is. He said that is how a husband and a wife should be. Amen. Number four, marriage is a union to which both parties, both partners, the husband and the wife, they are to be faithful to each other. Hello? You have to be what? Faithful. That means if you are married, you cannot have girlfriend. Hello? You cannot have boyfriend. That's adultery. You have to be faithful to your wife. Amen? You know, some people, yes, the woman looks fine outside. If you have a woman that you are looking at that looks fine outside, change your wife. Take her to the store. Make her look fine too. It's not an excuse for you. Praise the Lord. There must be absolute what? Faithfulness. That is why I tell men, you need to be careful. Don't have any kind of, be careful who you talk to. Even you women, anyone that is talking about, hey, baby, how can somebody call you baby that is not your husband? Or how can you as a man be calling somebody baby that is not your wife? Hey, well, you know, I don't like to school. So what? The moment you get married, that must what? Stop! Because listen, men, what we don't understand is this. The moment they begin to talk to a woman in a certain kind of way, they begin to have affection for you much, much more. Our only problem will help it. So, because you're helping her, why you have to call her, hey, baby? What's up, sweetie? Even the way we give compliments must be minimized. Ah, mommy, that's okay. The man, don't say, hey, sarunke, etilo waju. How can you, as a man, a married man, be talking to a woman? Oh God, you put a shirt in here. Oh Lord, who can check? Who can say in shivers? Nonsense. Absolute what? Nonsense. Can I talk to somebody here? Don't even talk to him. Get here. All of a sudden. Okay. Thank you. So what happens? So the woman will now go home. Maybe doesn't understand, doesn't give compliments that easily. So now what happens now? Whenever he knows that, she knows that he's going to see that man that gives her compliment, guess what? She will touch herself up. Hey, and this woman dive along every time. Am I talking to you? Listen, I know it sounds funny, but this is the truth. You look good. Bye-bye. And let me have to go. But get clean. Good day, wap out. Have to fall. Marriage is such a relationship that both parties must be what? Faithful. Whatever compliments you cannot give your wife, don't give it to another woman. Whatever compliment you cannot give to your husband, don't give it to another man. Tell your husband, baby, you know, would they like offer? Listen. Amen, somebody. Am I talking to someone? Hello? My wife knows I don't like wearing Yoruba attire. Amen, somebody. If there's something that you want your husband to do, tell him. Don't, because of that, don't make that as an excuse to begin to now say, you know what, because all of a sudden, what begins to happen is this. Also, we as women, we must also find what makes our husband tick. Because if we don't give it in the house, the husband will go outside. Where they go, Amen. That is why I always tell men, whatever help you are going to render a woman. That is why I don't go visit a single woman in the household. Amen. I feel like we put him but we also where they come from Velo Jokuti. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you why. The Bible says flee from every appearance of temptation. How does temptation happen? Temptation happens when you have lust in your heart. What the devil do is the devil will give you opportunity. Talk about you, what? Kiloku, nothing. After nobody will know. I always tell men, if you're in your office and you run your own office, how can you be going on a business trip, you and your secretary alone? Kill a fellow say, PA. Amen. We must be faithful. We must flee from adultery. Adultery is bad. It stings. It has a way that doesn't, you know, it hurts so much that it doesn't leave. Sometimes it takes some men or women years to get over it. Some don't even get over it. I told you a story of a woman. I was talking about it. The woman was unfaithful with you know, she had an affair. The husband did not know. Now, what am I trying to get at is that, do you know that, listen, it's a true story, yo. Do you know that eventually the man, for like three years that they were together after that incident, the man did not touch the woman. Why? Because the man could not get over that thing. What am I trying to say is this. Listen. Marital unfaithfulness is bad. The nature of marriage is that both parties must be what? Faithful. Faithful in everything. Faithful, you know, because when we talk about faithfulness, we think that it's only when you sleep around. It's faithfulness in everything you do. Faithfulness with finances. Faithfulness in taking care of the kids. How can a man, how can you have a man who is not faithful in taking care of the kid? Are you getting what I'm saying? We must be absolutely what? Faithful to each other. Spend time more with your husband. Spend time more with your wife. If you're a woman, you overwork yourself. Cut down on your work. Praise the Lord. Every day, you don't have time. You're working 18 hours a day. 18 hours a day. Amen. One of these is, I'll tell you the top five needs of man, top five needs of a woman. Maybe if you understand both five needs, we won't have too much fight in homes. The number one thing for a woman is they want somebody they can talk to. That is why when a woman comes back from work, you know, you are sitting there and say, you know what, but she wants to tell you what happened in the day. Sometimes my wife will come back from work. Like, patient, you know, he'll go, Praise the Lord. Oh God, kill what she says. It is well. It is well. I record. Am I talking to someone here? But for men, the number one thing for men is sexual fulfillment. The man doesn't care. You could have worked 21 hours and you have 3 hours to sleep before you go back again. They want to have intercourse with you. That's men. But what am I trying to say is that if we understand those things, we're going to get to that. I think that's about 2 weeks away or 3 weeks away in our teachings. How to affair-proof your marriage. Marriage is such a nature that we must what? We must be faithful to each other. Give me 5 minutes. I'm going to close quickly. Marriage is a union in which both parties has to love each other. When I'm talking about love, we are talking about the God kind of love. But the love that is between a man and a woman is a love that encompasses everything. You know, remember, love, there's different kinds of love. There's what we call phileo, which is a brotherly kind of love, a love as a friend. That is why my best friend is my wife. That's how it should be. You know, sometimes you want to talk. Just laugh. Get there, say yeah. Amen. Then there's what I call the eros kind of love. It is that the intimacy kind of love. That's where the word erotica comes from. That is the sexual fulfillment between a husband and a wife. Amen. That must be there. And also the other one is what I call the agape love. The love of God. That is the love that looks beyond any fault. It is the love that you look beyond any mistake. It doesn't keep track of mistakes. Amen. You know, you didn't say, Amen. That is not the kind of love that God has towards us. The love that God has towards us doesn't keep any wrong. It's not pompous. It's not proud. Amen. Listen. Am I talking to somebody? There are some people that say, So, Allah called me as a vessel. That doesn't mean that you mess up somebody's destiny because of that. Praise the Lord. The love that God has for us, God doesn't say, mommy, I bless you yesterday. You know, whatever I teach you need, you have it. The Bible says that kind of love is kind. You know, some husbands are not kind towards their wives. That kind of love is patient. Amen. Yeah, she may not get it right away. He may not get it right away. There are some women, you know. My wife is very finicky about cleaning the house. I'm okay. I don't make too much mess. Every time she comes home, mommy, welcome. Have you cleaned your room? Praise the Lord. She's like, honey, I'm with that little red one. Amen. What am I trying to say? She has to get to the point. She has gotten to the point where, okay, all right, maybe I have to do it myself. Are you getting what I'm saying? The love we are talking about is kind. It's patient. It does not keep track of wrong. It is not pompous. It is not proud. There are some women, all of a sudden, talking about bad degree, come by and say, you say, I've heard people say, listen, we have women of God here that does counseling. Shemukuro, say, buddy. Mommy, Shemukuro. No, listen, I'm telling you the truth. Some women, when they now get a degree or something, they now become proud. Some men too. I told you, in LA, my friend, we went to a place. This man brought the wife just to do nursing. The wife will be sick. He was telling Pastor, this thing, no problem. All I just tell her to go work. Who then suffer Pastor? I brought her just to come and work. Only Pastor tell her, if you don't work, tell her to go back home. I've seen people where the woman came home, man, they seize the passport, or seize the go where? Isolated the woman. Chef, that's wickedness. You cannot see, that's what some things some people do. I question if they really love that personality. Because I don't think you can look at somebody that you truly, truly love, that you truly have a covenantal love with. I was talking to a man one day. I'm talking to him, so only pastor, the thing, the man was saying it, and I became angry within me. What I became because again, he can't enjoy it. No, let me tell you the truth. Hello, somebody. How can somebody, I always tell men, listen, even if your wife gets you to a point where you are so angry, take your key, get out of the house. There's some women. The moment they say one, before they land one, they have said two. Before they land two, one is for three, one is for four. Listen, as a man, listen. This, let me tell you something. We are always in control of our emotions, though. But when you truly love somebody, no matter how bad the situation is, it is that love, when you truly love them and you look at the love that God has for us, it is the love, when you look at the love that God has, God did not abandon us when we mess up now. God did not now. True love. Let me stop there because of our time. Pick it up next week. Amen? Amen. And I speak to every home here today that is having mighty challenges. I pray. Whatever that needs to be fixed in that home, in that marriage, the God of heaven that we serve will make things right in the name of Jesus. There's no situation that is bad that God cannot change. He's the unchanging changer. Maybe as I'm speaking today, you are sorrowful in your heart. What's up with my own marriage like this? I pray today. I call on the host of heavens. Whatever it is that needs to be fixed in that marriage, the Lord will fix it today in the name of Jesus. It shall be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen, we must get to that point. And we know that it is about the love of God. I want to tell you that the love of God does is also the love it forgives. It forgives. When we have genuine love, unreserved love, there's a transition that I put in there of what I came up with as love. It says, an overwhelming desire to give of yourself to the other person for their benefit, regardless of the cost to yourself. Sometimes when we give love, we will lose our ego. Sometimes we have to give up our ego. Ah, me if I go to my ride, me. The Lord will bless us. Let's recap. We're gonna take it from there next week. Please, I really don't want you to miss this. Your husband is not here. Buy the CD for him. Or your wife is not here. Buy the CD for her. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage is a union that supersedes parent-child relationship. It's a union of such intimacy that two partners are said to become what? One flesh. It's a union to which both parties are to be what? Faithful. And it's a union which both parties has to what? Love. Write this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When you get home, if you are here with your husband, read it with your husband. And if not, read it on your own. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll take it from there next week by His grace. Please, the next month or so that we're going to do this, up till June ending, don't miss it. And if you have any questions, amen, shoot me an email or write it, because there will be a day where we're going to tackle questions, amen, during the service like this. If you have any questions, write it out. Say, okay, Pastor, I want to know about XYZ. Amen. Or if you are not married, the Lord will help us. We have great women of God, men of God here. There will be a day we will all tackle all of it. We'll come here as a panel and we'll just ask questions. Just throw the questions out. Amen. The goal is this. The goal is that God that has brought us together will continually bring our families together in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody, lift your hands to heaven. Just thank Him for this word today. Yes, begin to thank Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to thank Him. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, it is a seed. I've sown it the way You want me to. Lord, I pray, every marriage is in this house. Touch them in the mighty name of Jesus. Every demonic forces that is tearing people apart, we come against it and we pray that the fire of destruction will come upon it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Blessed be Your name. The grace has the ability to receive this word. I pray that You will give it to us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Blessed be Your name. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Next week, we're going to talk about the building blocks of a marriage. I'm going to take it from there. The Lord bless you.